Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
Wonderful. I can't say that I've ever moved for a job, but, if I got a house this nice, maybe I would.
I have some experience moving for career things. We are joined by a special guest, Nick G. Nick won our Extra Life donation contest back in November. He chose You Only Move Twice to join us. It's a pretty good choice, I would say. Nick, how you doing?
Not too bad, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about this episode.
It's a fantastic choice.
It is. It's a great episode. Where does this rank? Is this one of your favorites, I'm assuming?
It's about number 8 on my list, personally. Okay. Everything else on my list is before this episode, so I had to choose this one.
It's going to be an issue as we move forward, I think.
At the end of this season, it's going to be tough to have anyone's favorite episode.
I don't know. There's people who have favorite episodes later on. It's just, I think most people's favorites are in the golden years.
My third favorite episode is in season 15, so...
There you go. See? Yeah. I would argue that there's still great episodes later on. They're just not as packed in, you know. They're a little spread out. Let's see. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. You gain access to all of our bonus content. We have a person to thank, Matt.
We do.
Rob Sousa. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Also, we do. Sorry.
Perfect.
On this week's episode is You Only Move Twice, episode 3, F23, originally aired November 3rd, 1996, written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Mike B. Anderson, finished 50th in the ratings and Nielsen rating of 8.5, approximately 8.2 million viewing households, the second highest rated show on Fox that week following The X-Files. Episode famously guest stars Albert Brooks as Hank Scorpio. I would say that he's actually... This episode almost is featuring him. It almost feels like the Hank Scorpio show with kind of Homer and the family on the sidelines for some of the... I mean, I don't really complain about it because...
No, it really is like that, but
who cares? He's amazing. Episode begins. Smithers walking to work. You put sinister job offer in here, Matt, in our notes. What? It's sinister?
Because the limo just, like, rolls up silently next to Smithers. The window, like, rolls down, and she's like, "Hello, Mr. Smithers." It's very sinister.
I
bet she was left-handed.
I think Smithers' reaction, very much like, why can't a man walk down the street while getting a job offer? I don't know. It's... I would be suspicious. I wouldn't necessarily think that it's sinister, but I think you're just saying it's sinister because you know who she works for.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay. But Smithers, of course, declines.
And what she does to Norman Schwarzkopf eventually.
Is that her? I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. New things every time I learn. So Smithers, of course, declines because, of course, he loves working for Mr. Burns. He's even singing about it when we first see him. But the next most senior person at the plant is Homer, who accepts...
Somehow. So you're telling me nobody else in the plant has been there 10 years? That's kind of depressing.
Well, I think they have gone into it over the years about, like, how long he's been there, and yet he's never been promoted. And how everyone else gets promoted over him over and over and over again. So I think it's fine. I can buy it that he's senior, just he hasn't ever been promoted because he doesn't really
do his job very well.
He's
senior. He's not the next most competent person.
She says senior. Homer,
he's only there because of Project Bootstrap.
That's true. See? Exactly. Homer accepts the job immediately and then informs the family.
We'll have to go to the next most senior man at the plant. Here we are. 10 years experience. His name is...
Marge, I got a new job. It's with Globex Corporation. I get more money plus health benefits for me and my life partner. And they'll move us and give us a nice house and
live... Move us?
It's in Cypress Creek, upstate somewhere.
You took a new job in a strange town without discussing it with your family?
Of course not. I wouldn't do that. Why not?
We have roots here, Homer. We have friends and family and library cards. Bart's lawyer is here.
But Marge, this is a chance for me to fulfill my lifelong dream.
What lifelong dream?
Promise not to laugh. I always wanted to own the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm sorry, Dad. I just find that very cute.
Homer, I don't want to leave Springfield. I've dug myself into a happy little rut here, and I'm not about to hoist myself out of it.
Well, one, Homer has had many lifelong dreams, which we've seen over the years.
See the Gong Show, we're out on the field. What are some others?
I had the list ahead of me, in front of me earlier, and now I've forgotten to pull it. But there's, I believe, 10 other 10 other items on that list that Homer has said prior that is his lifelong dream. And the Dallas Cowboys, owning an NFL team is not obtainable by any normal person, unless you are a wealthy person. Jerry Jones, who currently owns the Cowboys, and I'm fairly certain owned them back then, the Cowboys are one of the most, I think they're worth like over $1 billion at this point.
Yeah, they're ridiculously expensive.
It would require a Hank Scorpio to buy a football team for Homer, or to...
Well, he does. He just, at the time, he bought a team that wasn't nearly as good.
We'll get to it. But we watch a VHS ad, basically, on a tape for Cypress Creek, we should just have pulled one clip for this entire episode. It's just the entire episode. But there's a lot of visual gags on this one, especially. But I don't know. They really nail the aesthetic of... planned communities in a time when they weren't nearly, I don't know, weren't springing up as much as they have in the past two decades, really. In the mid-90s, I wasn't really alive to realize, but I don't know, it feels very much like now everywhere you go, there are communities with houses that are 6 feet away from each other, and they're all have
they're name. All one of like three different models, and there's nearby shopping spaces.
And they all have street names. Like called Maple Systems Road. And they do a great job. And of course, a mailbox, a homeless person does turn into a mailbox in the commercial. Because we don't have bums in Cypress
Creek. No. But if they did, they'd be allowed to go at their own pace.
the family, they watch the VHS tape, and apparently that is all they need to convince them is like a 2-minute clip. Of how pretty the town looks. I mean, Cypress Creek does look pretty nice.
No need to visit a town before you move there.
Yeah, I would probably suggest it, but I think, I don't know, I can't pick apart any, like, if you start picking apart logical inconsistencies in this episode, you're gonna, the Simpsons going to a town, moving to a town before ever visiting it is the least thing, you know, when there is a James Bond style supervillain in the large part of the episode, and it's never questioned at all. Like worrying if they, you know, them moving to a town, deciding very quickly. And Springfield's a crud bucket. Of course, you'd want to leave.
That's true. I mean, according to Newsweek, anyway.
Exactly. But they pack up their stuff in the little lugger. I love the little lugger, and they can't sell the house. No one wants to buy it because it is a piece of junk, and they abandon it. I don't know the legal...
Yeah, that doesn't really work. That would lead very heavily to bankruptcy in their case. The bank would foreclose on them and just take the house.
Maybe Springfield banks are different.
Wait. Is this before or after Maggie Makes Three? Have we done that episode yet?
Well, Maggie is in this episode, so yes, this is after Maggie Makes Three.
Oh, right. So, yes, the house is technically paid off at this point. Although, we've also had Homer versus Patty in some where the house wasn't paid off and Maggie was there.
Oh,
so
man. I hope someone got fired for that blunder.
They should have just taken Ralph Salver.
They should have.
Yes.
Flanders does make a meek attempt to reclaim. Apparently, Homer has like half of his belongings once belonged to Flanders, but Flanders, of course, backs away as soon as Homer says, "No, I still need those things in my new house that has everything." But the Simpsons leave. They drive away, and everyone in town says goodbye.
Bye, diddly eye. So long.
God bless you.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Homer.
Take care.
Adios.
So long.
Very well.
Yar. Bon voyage.
Toodle-oo.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara, dude.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Ha-ha. I'm gonna miss Springfield. This town's been awfully good to us.
No, it hasn't, Dad. That's why we're leaving.
Oh, yeah. So long, stink town.
So long, stink town.
Indeed. It's what I said when I graduated high school.
That's a good one, Matt. We got to save that one. Got to write that one down. Uh-huh. But the family with it, and it's the end of the first act, a very, very short first act. It makes me a little upset because Matt gets the prime Hank Scorpio, honestly, but we go to commercial.
I get the prime everything because the next act is super long, and it starts by the Simpsons arriving in Cypress Creek, which is surrounded by giant redwoods, which I'm pretty sure only in California.
Well, Springfield's in California.
It is this week, anyway.
Yeah, Springfield and Cypress Creek. Well, we're never told that it is upstate, so it's the same state. So California it is.
Obviously, yes. Again, this week. The family moves into their giant new house, which I don't know if it comes as part of the job or that's just what they bought, because I don't see the Simpsons being able to afford that house. So there must have been some shaky things going on there. But the house is gigantic. It's beautiful. It looks brand new. Bart calls the living room as his room, which I find slightly disingenuous, even for Bart.
I wouldn't want to live. Who wants to have the living room as your room anyway?
I don't know. Give me the room farthest away from everyone else.
And Matt, Hank Scorpio is a supervillain. I'm fairly certain he has all the houses that aren't, like, he probably still owns all the houses that people are living in. Like, he just lets people
That's
take...
probably true.
I mean, later on, he explicitly says...
couldn't afford that house.
He explicitly says Homer's going to go home to a third story. So he is in charge of the housing in Cypress Creek.
That's true. They just bus one on by.
Yeah, exactly. And they just offload it. Modular.
That'd be amazing if houses really worked like that.
They do. It's called manufactured homes, Matt. What do you think double wide trailers
are?
Yeah,
I feel like you go to good houses.
Have you?
I don't think you can add levels to trailers.
Matt, you haven't been privy to the nice manufactured homes, as they are called nowadays, because they are still very likely to get blown away in a tornado or hurricane, but they are very nice.
See, I feel like there's got to be an easier way of that. I've got to find some way to, like, stick some rods in the ground, you know, 20 feet or so, pretty not super deep, and then just, you know, bolt the houses down. I feel like that would be a better way of having manufactured housing, but maybe I'm crazy.
I spent a large portion of my career in the construction field, and people get very upset when you call their manufactured home a mobile home, even though they are exactly the same thing.
Well, that's true, but, you know, usually a manufactured house tends to be a little nicer. But I'm just saying, instead of letting them blow away, you should bolt them into the ground. It seems like that would be pretty easy, instead of just setting them on the ground and putting some concrete blocks on top.
I'm sure there's
I've seen most of them.
There's probably people working on that problem right now, Matt.
Let's hope so. Anyway, as soon as the Simpsons move in, literally as soon as Lisa closes the door, they have a knock at the door, and Homer gets to meet his new boss.
I am here to welcome you on behalf of the president of the Globex Corporation. Me! Try the papayas. They're juicy and full of papain. Makes you strong like Popeye. Popeye, papain. Popeye, papain. See? Same thing. Same. Forget it. How are you? I'm Hank Scorpio.
Wow, my boss.
Don't call me that word. I don't like things that elevate me above the other people. I'm just like you. Oh, sure, I come later in the day, I get paid a lot more, and I take longer vacations, but I don't like the word boss. Hey, look at my feet.
Okay.
You like those moccasins? Look in your closet. There's a pair for you. Don't like them? Then neither do I. Get the hell out of here! Ha! Ever see a guy say goodbye to a shoe?
Yes, once.
Mr. Scorpio, this house is almost too good for us.
I keep expecting to get the bum's rush.
We don't have bums in our town, Marge, and if we did, they wouldn't rush. They'd be allowed to go at their own pace. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm in the middle of a fun run. See you at work tomorrow. Although I don't really like to call it work.
So, that's Hank Scorpio. He seems nice, right?
I love Hank Scorpio.
He was doing pretty well in that fun run for to be able to stop and have a conversation and still be close to the front.
It's a fun run, Matt. You're not. It's not too. It's not about winning. It's about having fun
and eating donuts in the good fun runs.
Exactly. There you go. He's ahead of the curve. You know, doing fun runs back in the 90s. It's. I don't know. It's Hank Scorpio is a spectacular invention. Albert Brooks does a tremendous job at performing him as him, and I don't know how much of, like, it is famously that he improvised a bunch of his lines. Who knows how much of it? But when you're hearing Dan Castellaneta react as Homer, the creative team has, you know, famously said that is how someone sounds when they just are talking to Albert Brooks. Because it is just you're listening to him just spout off all these crazy fun ideas and lines, and you're just like, yep. And I don't know it. You can I really wish I don't know they would have more people who have the chops that Albert Brooks does and let them kind of be like play loose with their lines. I don't think they do it very often. I think generally they stick pretty well to the script because it's been so fine-tuned. But I think a large part of the charm in this is, well, Hank Scorpio is an insane person, so him having crazy improv lines.
He's the fun kind of insane, so you just let him go. He'll tire himself out and move on to something else. He's like Elon Musk.
Actually, if you don't mind me asking you guys,
go ahead.
Do you... how do you feel about him not being the main villain in a Simpsons movie?
Oh, I don't know if we've actually, I think we've touched on that.
I think
somewhere.
We discussed it on our bonus episode when we did the Simpsons movie. But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean,
Russ Cargill is fine, but Hank Scorpio is more fun. Like he's a crazy, insane person who puts sports coats on backwards and throws his shoes out on the road. Like
and says goodbye to them.
Yes, and says goodbye to his shoes. He's so much fun and one of the best guest stars ever in the show. And I wish they would have done. I think the movie is good for what it is, and I think Russ Cargill is fine. I think you still capture a lot of Albert Brooks. Like intelligence and comedic chops and stuff, but I don't know. Hank Scorpio's special, and I think it would have made the movie better than good.
True, but what if like the Hank Scorpio in the movie was, you know, at least different enough that people looked back at this episode and been like, man, I wish that Hank Scorpio had been there. Maybe they were just like, we could never live up to Hank Scorpio ever again, even if we brought him back. That's what I would worry about if they were to have Albert Brooks reprise his role.
That sounds like I don't know. Better to take the shot and miss it than to resort to like the okay option.
Yeah,
I don't like.
We don't work in Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't like chances.
No, you're mostly right.
What Transformers movie are we on now?
What Transformers movies are you talking about, Matt? The one from the 80s?
Yes, that one. Okay. They're on like the fifth sequel of that animated film.
No, I was just I refuse to acknowledge. Those films that are those films. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are no giant robot films, never have been, except
Pacific Rim is one. It's really that's a good one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. It's the only giant robot film there's ever been.
Mm-hmm. It's the only one.
Yeah. Anyway, the next day everyone gets up, Homer goes to work, the kids go to school, and Marge starts her housework, except that the house cleans itself. She has a Roomba way before Roombas were cool. The oven cleans itself. Maggie is enjoying her swing-a-jig, supposedly, which looks awful. It's a roller coaster you can't get off of. So poor Marge has absolutely nothing to do. So she sits down and has a glass of wine. So that's what you do when you're bored as a housewife, I guess.
One glass. I don't know. I like that this weird parallel universe that Cypress Creek is set in, where all the family. It's just different enough that it's not Springfield. They can't exist. They can't exist outside of Springfield. The rules don't work, except for Homer in this case.
Yeah, well, Marge doesn't have a purpose. Bart is stuck where he belongs in the remedial class, and poor Lisa's just allergic to things. It's like, if this episode happened today, they'd be like, all right, Marge gets one of her many hobbies. She takes up online gaming again. You know, Lisa takes some Benadryl or what's the allergy medication? Allegra?
That's I have no idea. Anyway. Yes, obviously there are ways around for them to belong, but I, you know, to make a home in Cypress Creek, but they can't. It's not, they can't live there. And I, like, that's what this episode is just saying, is like, they, the Simpsons can't exist outside of Springfield. The Springfield is vitally important.
Springfield is their only ecosystem, and without it, they fall and die, yeah, unfortunately.
They need that habitat.
Yeah. So Homer goes to work. You can tell this, it's actually kind of weird because you look at Globex's office and it's very much like a tech startup today. It's an open plan. There's no cubicle walls. There's no offices. Everyone hangs around. There's workout equipment in the middle of the room. There's all kinds of people playing around and having fun. It's just, it looks, it was practically prescient. But hey, you know, I think it was designed to be like that. It's be like this weird place that doesn't look like anybody's actual office. And of course, oh. Hank is insane.
What are you?
Sorry, you were going to say something.
Okay, I thought you were going to play a clip.
I will.
I was going to say that I think that that trend of open office plans and, you know, the Googles of the world, and that was starting in the 90s. Like, that was like right at the verge of tipping over when you get the you know, we're it's 1996, almost 1997 when this episode comes out. It, you know, we're on the verge of the dot-com booms. You know, like, in a few years, we're going to have Y2K and all the websites start springing up and be get lots of money from venture capitalists, even though there's no way that their business model can be sustained. And bosses like...
See, they should have invested in Globex. Globex, a good business model.
They should have. But bosses like Hank Scorpio were not prevalent, obviously, but I feel like there on the horizon, there were, this was coming, and The Simpsons just are very good at scouting that stuff out and making it funny. But Hank Scorpio, literally, like you say, Elon Musk, what? Tell me the difference.
Well, that's what I was actually thinking. I was like, I feel like Hank Scorpio is somebody one of the writers or producers met at a party. And I was like, yeah, this guy just started this tech company. And he's like, wow, you are either a tech CEO or a supervillain. It could go either way, really. Depends how much money you started with and how you see the, see, basically, how that person sees them, their view of the world being put into place, either through techno-utopianism, utopianism, or through force. So, you know, it's a sliding scale, really. Elon Musk is right there in the center of either one. So that's just the way it is. Hank tended towards the supervillain aspect. But it's okay, because he's a great guy, right?
Okay, well, if you're going to ask that question now, let's talk about it now. I like Hank Scorpio as a dude. I don't really like, I think, and that kind of makes it really, that's really funny to me, because as I was watching this episode again, I was thinking to myself, he's obviously a bad person. Like, we see him like killing US Army soldiers towards the end of the episode. He is blowing up bridges. He is a terror. He's a supervillain. But I don't care. I still like Hank Scorpio. I think he's a good boss. And like, is that the, like, Mr. Burns is less evil, but I, you know, you kind of despise Burns a lot of the time. But Hank Scorpio,
that's because he's mean.
Hank Scorpio's not mean. He's nice to his employees. He understands a good managerial what's the word I'm looking for? Practices. And I don't know. I'm never upset that he's a supervillain. I never go, oh man, I like it. It's just a weird personality quirk.
Yes, it's like, I have this wonderful dream for the world, but no one will take me seriously, so I'm going to have to force it on them. That's basically the Hank Scorpio method. And Hank Scorpio would be a great person to hang out with, not so much to do business with, because eventually he'll decide that you need to be killed.
In fact, I don't know.
A lot like working for the mob, actually.
I don't think that he'd kill people for work. I think anyone who is part of his business, I think he would give a genuine effort to get along with. He's part of the, they're part of, saying, the, like, they're part of their
you,
team.
If you ever got in the way, like if you ever stopped being good employee to him and started getting in the way.
Homer leaves and he's very nice to Homer.
True, but Homer doesn't get in the way. He doesn't actively oppose Hank at any point.
Well, that's when you're not on the team if you're an enemy, Matt.
But what if you were on the team and then you're like, nah, we shouldn't be killing people.
That's,
and then you leave and you...
You know what you call those people? Traitors. That's what you call them.
And what happens to snitches, Robbie?
They get stitches.
Well, they get cut in half by a laser or shot. But yes, that would probably, getting cut in half by a laser would probably result in stitches.
Nick?
But any...
Nick, you there?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I input. Where's Hank Scorpio is likable, right? That's the deal. Like, he is a villain, but he's likable, right?
Nobody who wants to destroy France can be a bad man.
Hey now. We're gonna get to that.
I don't know how many French listeners we have. If you are a French listener and you like the show, you are of course not the kind of people we're talking about.
Oh, don't worry. When we get to that line, we're going to have it out because I disagree very strongly with Homer.
Okay. All right.
So basically, Hank is insane, but he's a great boss, and he's trying to encourage Homer.
Having a place like this has always been my dream, Homer. What's your dream?
To work for you?
Don't do that. My butt is for sitting, not for kissing. Now, you tell me the truth. What's your real dream? Your real dream?
Someday I'd like to own the Dallas Cowboys.
I bet people laughed at you when you told them that dream.
Yeah.
Homer, don't give up. They laughed at me the first time I wore jeans with a sport coat. I was the first wealthy man in America to ever do that. Now they all do it. Did you ever hear of Mike Milken?
Yeah, no.
Do we know who that was? Was that a real person, Mike Milken?
Mike Milken is a real person.
All right.
He's a rich guy.
All right. I wonder what...
He was also indicted for racketeering and securities fraud in 1989.
Well,
his net worth at the moment is $2.5 billion. That's billion with a B.
Oh, I'm showing $3.6 billion according to Forbes in 2017.
I'm looking at Wikipedia, so Forbes is probably more accurate about that.
Probably. So yes, this is just Hank telegraphing his intentions early. He's like, by the way, I'm a criminal, just like Mike Milken.
Exactly. Anyway, well, I mean, Milken was a white collar crime. He's not into supervillainy.
Really isn't supervillainy just a logical extension of white collar crime? It's like you're hurting people you can't see. That's what white collar crime is.
I mean, that's true. Also, Michael Milken had the nickname of the Junk Bond King.
Oh, okay. That sounds familiar now.
Oh, okay. We just ignited Matt's imagination with his. We got. You only know him.
I assume it had something to do with the savings and loan crashes in 87 if he was indicted in 89. So that's more than likely what he was involved with that led to him going to jail or not going to jail. He's rich. He probably didn't go to jail at all. Homer is introduced to his team because apparently Homer is not going to actually be doing any work. He's going to be a manager, that came out wrong. Managers do real work. He's going to be doing different work. He's not going to be doing direct hands-on work like the kind he did at the nuclear power plant in Springfield. So more napping or less, we don't really know.
Honestly, I think that this is the job Homer's designed. He's like, this is his good. This is a good job for Homer. I feel like he's.
It is. He doesn't have to do any direct work. He just has to inspire people, which he's apparently pretty good at.
He's a people person.
Hank apparently wants Homer to do a trust fall, but it gets a call that someone has eaten part of his lunch. Which, why would you eat the boss's lunch, especially when your boss is a supervillain? That's a quick way to die. But Homer does the trust fall anyway. Hits the ground.
Okay.
Hank apologizes and runs off.
All right. We need an official response. What happens to the person that ate part of Hank's lunch?
I'm assuming if it's the first offense, they are, you know, slap on the wrist kind of thing, but probably second, maybe third offense, they're lasered in half. That seems about right.
Nick, what do you say?
I would assume they just get fired.
Oh, I mean...
You know, it's the easy way out. You don't need to kill anybody.
That's
true.
You see where Matt's mind immediately goes to? It is murder. Not just like, hey, he gets fired and then gets let go. No, it's we have to murder people, apparently.
Again, super villain.
He's after governments. We don't ever see and spies. You know, he's not targeting individual people.
That's true. Okay, so sorry. First offense, minor slap on the wrist. Second offense, fired. Third offense, if you sneak back in and eat his lunch again, then you get cut in half the laser.
Must be some good lunch.
I was going to say, maybe Hank Scorpio just needs to write his name on his paper bag or whatever. Like, you know.
That's true.
Homer himself makes
having the good lunches.
Homer himself makes the same mistake later in Homer's Enemies. So
indeed.
Exactly.
So at this point, Homer then tells his team to work harder because they can. So they do. We then get to see the kids at Cypress Creek Elementary, which has a website. And I believe you said this was 96 or 97.
This aired in November of 96. Yes.
So, yes, that was way before any school that wasn't a, you know, research university had a website. So, you know, they're trying to point out this school is cool.
Yeah, it immediately dates the episode. It's immediately like, well, every school has a website now. But at the time,
that was just a joke at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Websites. Fancy schools.
Yeah, that's where the rich kids are.
Mm-hmm.
As Bart finds out, because as they discover their desks, the teacher writes in cursive on the board, and things don't go well for Bart.
So, you never learned cursive?
Well, I know hell and damn and bit.
Cursive handwriting, script. Do you know the multiplication tables? Long division?
I know of them.
You know, Bart, I think you'd profit from a more remedial environment. I'm sure you'll feel right at home in the Leg Up program.
So, yes, Bart is introduced to the Leg Up program.
Oh, you didn't pull him trying to read the chalkboard, Matt?
No, because it's him saying, to Wenton and Jolly.
It makes me laugh so hard. Bart. It makes me laugh so hard. I don't know. It's like we continue to follow these the rest of the family's kind of demise and how they can't function in Cypress Creek. And Bart, you said he belongs. You implied that he belongs earlier, Matt, in this class.
Sorry. Not that he belongs in like the Leg Up program, but he belongs in a remedial class to learn things like, you know, cursive and, you know, the multiplication tables and things a fourth grader should know.
Yeah.
He needs extra help.
Well, I mean, I think that's
anywhere but Springfield.
We're getting a peek at reality. Like, this is what Cypress, every time the Simpsons leave Springfield, it gives the writers them an excuse to, like, show the real world to a certain extent, or at least a different version of the world. And this is a rude awakening for the rest of the family, because in the real world, you can't be a fourth grader and not know cursive, or...
Well, you can nowadays, but not back then.
Well, I mean, what is the real purpose of cursive?
In this day and age, not much.
Yeah, I mean, either I need to read actual good block handwriting that I can read, or it's on a computer screen. Why does it matter?
Exactly.
Yeah. But there should be an intermediary class between the class full of arsonists and the regular fourth grade class. There should be something in between.
That's
them.
True. Like maybe some after school tutoring, but I'm assuming that this is why everything is so wonderful in Cypress Creek, is they take anyone who deviates from the norm even slightly and dump them where they'll never be found again.
Oh, that was so ominous. Is it? Do you really think that?
Because the real world is messy, Robbie. That's how you get these perfect towns, is to get rid of anyone who doesn't. It's just like in Hot Fuzz.
We have very
Cypress
different.
Cypress Creek is the American Hot Fuzz.
We have very different experiences with this episode, because Cypress Creek is ideal. It's utopian. It's just the Simpsons can't exist in a utopia. It has to be crummy. They have to be in a crummy place like Springfield, because
that's
they're
true.
They're an average family. Average families.
They're lower than average.
Oh, that's. I guess that's. I don't know. I don't know. Social
it's
classes.
Slightly true.
Social classes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think. Maybe I didn't pay attention to this one, but did you see anybody who wasn't white in Cypress Creek?
I actually did look for that, and no,
okay.
I didn't, I can't remember all the children. I'm fairly certain there were some, children with people of color, you could say, but
okay.
I can't,
well,
I don't recall any in the plant. I don't recall any, but there probably were. I didn't notice any, which tells you, pretty much says what you need to know, but it's all right. The Simpsons, haven't aged well in some ways, and that is one of them.
In some ways, yes.
In some ways. That's not the only way. Like, we've kind of touched on Apu before, and a lot of other issues, like, around. So, like, it's a different time. I'm not going to blame them for doing things, like, that were culturally appropriate at the time. You just have to note it and move on. It's fine.
Marge's flowers apparently water themselves, which again makes Marge depressed that she has nothing to do. I guess Marge is one of those people who can't find things for themselves to do.
Well, I mean,
she really have a talk with my wife.
I mean, part of the reason I she does listen to this.
I know, okay. And she's always finding new things to do with never enough time. Her and Marge would be great friends. Marge would have tons to do.
Well, I think that again, this is Marge is. Always, like, every time we see Marge, she is, like, making the, in Summer 4-Foot-2, literally making beds for fun. Like, chores, house, being a housewife and chores is her life and what she actually enjoys doing. And you take that away from her, and she's left with nothing. She's just left with emptiness and drinking one glass of wine a day.
That whole glass of wine. But we then go back to Bart once we've seen Marge be sad again to find him making friends with the kids in the Leg Up program.
So what are you in for?
I moved here from Canada and they think I'm slow, eh? I fell off the jungle gym and when I woke up I was in here. I start fires.
Okay, now everyone take out your safety pencil and a circle of paper. This week, I hope we can finish our work on the letter A.
Let me get this straight. We're behind the rest of our class, and we're going to catch up to them by going slower than they are. Cuckoo!
Stop it! Stop it! Warren, Melvin, Gary, Dot, Gordy!
Look, lady, I'm supposed to be in the fourth grade.
Sounds to me like someone's got a case of the Sposdas.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Bart is awash in a sea of Ralphs.
I was going to say.
Including Canadian Ralph.
Sam, your Skype identifies you as living in Vancouver.
Yep.
Okay. And you're how do you feel about the Canadian Ralph we meet there?
As someone who lives in Canada, I have said that for my whole life.
Okay.
It's just something that everybody from here says. Everybody knows that line.
It's really, I do. And Matt, your note, they're all Ralph. They are.
Well, it's what Pamela Hayden do in them all, right?
Yeah. And well, apparently their designs were even less subtle in them making, like, they literally all looked exactly like Ralph and they actually changed up their hair and their designs just enough to make them not look exactly like Ralph, even though they do all sound pretty much like Ralph. But now we know, like, again, another difference in Cypress Creek in that Ralph is just a second grader, and they're not doing anything special with him. They just put him in the back and let him eat glue. Like, if you're a Ralph in Cypress Creek, you go to this little class where they give you circles of paper and safety pencils.
So you can't hurt yourself.
Yes, or others. Even though a couple of those those kids are a little scary, honestly.
Well, one of them starts fires, and Ralph starts fires, so hey. Because it was Leprechaun told him to.
I know, but that's later. That Ralph, I think that I don't know. I feel like they cribbed a little bit of the Ralph later on stuff from this, honestly. It feels very much like, you know, it's a progression. You get there. Like, it's
true. Ralph gets weirder and weirder.
It's escalation. Like, you have to go somewhere. Where do you go from Ralph just being kind of a dumb kid that eats glue? Oh, he starts fires. Like, he's
and
actually
then he runs for president.
He's deranged. Well,
and then he runs for president.
Vote for Ralph.
It's true. The independent candidate.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Bart meets all the Ralphs, we see Lisa for the first time and find out that she is loving Cypress Creek. There's so much nature for her to enjoy. There's flowers and trees and all kinds of furry animals. We find out that Lisa is probably a Disney princess in training, but she gets a little sneeze. Just a little one. And then we go to the Simpsons shopping, where they go to
The chipmunk and the owl? We don't mention the chipmunk and the owl?
I thought that was later.
No, that's this scene. That's this scene. She...
Sorry. Lisa has Mr. Owl and the northern reticulated chipmunk who is so reticulated.
It's glorious. That little chipmunk gets... She says hello to the cute little chipmunk, and then the owl immediately kills that poor little chipmunk.
Well, yeah, that's nature for you.
I don't know. It's just this. It's not just the writing in this or Hank Scorpio, you know, Albert Brooks is Hank Scorpio. There are tons of really funny little gags, a lot of little physical things that pop up that are brilliant. And I'd be remiss if we did not mention the owl grabbing that little so reticulated chipmunk.
Well, I mean, that's a background theme for this. It's like, oh, Cypress Creek looks wonderful, but in the background they're destroying small cute things.
What? It's you're doing this on purpose now. You're just trolling me now. I know what you're doing.
Well, now, yeah.
Okay, then. As long as you acknowledge it.
Okay, so the Simpsons are shopping in their downtown promenades and piazzas, and Homer goes by a sports collectible store and notices Tom Landry's hat, and then he realizes, hey, I'm a big executive type with a big executive type salary. I can afford that. So he goes in and buys Tom Landry's hat, and then the next day at work, his team is exhausted because they've been working extremely hard because he asked them to, and while Tom Landry's hat fails to motivate them, Homer realizes that everyone needs hammocks. So he goes to Hank for help.
Hi, Homer, what can I do for you?
Sir, I need to know where I can get some business hammocks.
Hammocks? My goodness, what an idea.
Why didn't I think of that? Hammocks!
Homer, there's four places. There's the Hammock Hut, that's on Third.
Uh-huh.
There's Hammocks or Us, that's on Third, too. You got Put Your Butt There,
mm-hmm.
That's on Third.
Yeah.
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Right.
Matter of fact, they're all in the same complex. It's the Hammock Complex down on Third.
Oh, the Hammock District.
That's right.
So, yes, the wonderful Hammock District of Cypress Creek, where I have to wonder if anything horrible is happening.
Hammocks. It is.
They're wonderful.
It's right up. It is right up there with the Aurora Borealis, steamed hams conversation of like.
It really
like
is.
Little tiny, like consolidated scenes of comedic brilliance, and you know, Albert Brooks like just improvising hammock store names, and
seriously, Put Your Butt There,
and yeah, put your butt there. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. It's just it.
It all becomes magic.
It is magical. It's amazing.
But at this point, unfortunately, Homer and Hank are interrupted because Hank has some supervillain to get involved with.
Thank you for the link up, Mr. Scorpio.
Homer, one second. I got to take care of this. Very important. Be right back.
Fine.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Scorpio. I have the Doomsday Device. You have 72 hours to deliver the gold, or you face the consequences. And to prove I'm not bluffing, watch this.
Oh, my God, the 59th Street Bridge.
Maybe it just collapsed on its own.
We can't take that chance.
You always say that. I want to take a chance.
Collapsed on its own, you sh... You have 72 hours. See you. Back to the hammocks, my friend.
Yes.
You know, there's a little place called Mary Ann's Hammocks. The nice thing about that place is Mary Ann gets in the hammock with you. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
You know who invented the hammock, Homer?
No.
That's something for you to do. Find that out.
It's important to know who invented your favorite things, Robbie.
That little... Just the little Homer's... His little reactions. The little... Oh. Just... I don't know. It's just a little tiny thing and it delights me.
It's what happens when you speak double entendres at Homer. He just doesn't get them. They go right over his head. It's like, why would I want someone to get in the hammock with me? I want to sleep by myself in the hammock. God, Tank.
Well, I don't think Homer is accustomed to there being room in a hammock for anything besides him.
That's a good point. It's like me being in a hammock. There is no room for anybody else unless it's a four-person hammock.
You just need a big one. Get a big one. I'm sure they sell... If they have a hammock district, come on. They have big hammocks.
It's true. It's a very important place, Cypress Creek, to have that many hammocks, to have a whole hammock district. But anyway, at that point, we go to a commercial.
And when we come back, Hank's, we didn't even mention, like, it's just, that's that reveal right there. Hank's a supervillain. Like, it's just suddenly, like, there's nothing really suspicious up to that point, right? I don't, like, there's no real nods to him, like, being a James Bond level, like, terrorist, basically. Like, there's no mention. It's just thrown in, like, here at the end of the second act. Boom.
Well, there are hints here and there.
Where? What is it? What clues you in earlier than this, Matt?
Now that I figured out who Mike Milken was, that kind of...
I don't know. Mike Milken's not as... He's just a typical kind of, like, stocks scumbag. Not necessarily... Like, he doesn't blow up bridges. He doesn't explode stuff.
That's true.
He doesn't make laser weapons or weather machines. I don't know.
That we know of.
I can't remember the first time I watched this and my reaction to that reveal. Because your first time, you don't know. You don't know that... That Hank's a supervillain. You just think he's like this, you know, nice, weird, progressive boss guy. He's not a guy threatening to blow up bridges and demands from governments.
Indeed. It's kind of out of the blue, and you're just like, oh, well, Hank's weirdness makes more sense, no, or at least fits in with this type of character.
No. Nick, do you recall the first time you've seen this episode, or is it just lost in the time?
Well, this episode came out when I was 2 months old.
Oh, gosh.
So, no, I have no clue what the first time I saw this.
Okay. All right.
I've been watching this show since I was three, so.
You young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, I was 10 at the time. I still don't recall. I don't remember.
No, I definitely saw this in reruns first.
I watched the show religiously with my family, but I don't remember. I distinctly remember the first episode I watched when it was live, and I remember watching Homer's Enemy, but I don't remember many other, like, moments, and that's, I think, just my obsessiveness with that particular episode. But Homer is... I like your notes, Matt. They always delight me. Homer is in the office again. He's looking for sugar, and he just strolls into Hank's office,
Where the doomsday weapon is.
Where the doomsday weapon is.
Hi, Homer. I'm keeping two of my fingers crossed that you're going to have that nuclear generator up to full power by tomorrow.
Yes, sir. No problemo.
Good. By the way, Homer, what's your least favorite country? Italy or France?
France.
Nobody ever says Italy.
I never noticed this office before.
Why should you? It's mine.
You have any sugar around here?
Sugar? Sure. Here you go. Sorry, it's not in packages. Want some cream?
No.
Oh, it's such. I mean, it's brilliant. It's a very dumb joke, but it's just sugar in his pockets. And where's that cream, Matt? Where is that cream?
I'm assuming he just keeps little non-dairy creamers in his pockets.
All right. See, exactly. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay.
It's really warm. It's kind of gross.
It's whatever. It's going in coffee. It's hot. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
Italy, France. What were you talking about, Matt? Italy.
I'm going to say I'm going to posit that France is better than Italy. So, those of you who are Italians out there, get ready.
I've never been to either. So I'm not gonna. You've traveled internationally, Matt. You're a world traveler.
Been to France. I have not been to Italy.
See,
I have seen pictures of the streets of Italy. They do not look fun to be on.
I would willingly go to either of those countries for probably to eat a lot and not, you know, care about much else besides that. But
French food is generally better than Italian food. At least there's that.
I mean, for Hank's purposes, he probably is looking to extort money from a country. You know, I would he has to target wealthy countries, you know? So if it's a toss up, you know,
if he's looking for a wealthy country to extort, obviously the choice is Germany. I mean, they are the backbone of the EU financial network. So if he wants to extort
somebody... In 1996, the EU?
They were the EU then, but they were still the backbone of most of the European economy back then. Not as much as they are now. Actually, to be honest, really he should have gone for the UK, because, I mean, that's where most of the financial networks in Europe were back then, not to mention the strength of the pound and just their... That's pretty much where... financing went after the Dutch started, you know, stock trading. So, the UK would have been a much better choice than either France or Italy.
Is it funnier joke, though?
It's
not a funnier joke. France is the funniest joke.
Fine, but France is great. We would not have a country if it weren't for France. Or I would. You two might, but I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I'm still an American citizen, Matt. I don't know what you like. I still.
No, you abandoned us for our little sister Canada.
Abandoned?
Yes. Since Canada's better looking. That's better health care.
I'm so
better job.
I think you're mixing metaphors a little bit too much, Matt, because I'm losing track of.
That's what makes it funny.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Marge is still drinking. Bart hates school. And Lisa is still wandering through the forest, but puts her nose in a flower. It starts sneezing uncontrollably, eyes burning. We get that another chipmunk, presumably a different one, or that original chipmunk escaped from the clutches of the owl. It's hard to say. Probably didn't escape.
Probably not. That's the way nature works, usually.
Probably didn't escape, but that little chipmunk blew you. There's no nature in Springfield, you wrote down, Matt. And
there's no real nature in
Springfield.
There's
no real nature in Springfield.
Every park they go to is disgusting.
See, a nice place. Literally, the Simpsons are allergic to nice places.
Sounds about right.
Like, they go to a place that's good, and they literally cannot stand it. It makes them ill. It makes poor Lisa terribly allergic. We see the terrific James Bond stand-in, who is cleverly called
Mr. Bont.
Mr. Bont, because apparently the Fox lawyers made them change the name. They're afraid of getting sued. We see Mr. Bont confront Hank Scorpio. Or I guess Hank Scorpio confront Mr. Bont, honestly.
Scorpio, you're totally mad.
I wouldn't point fingers, you jerk.
Sure, do you expect me to talk?
I don't expect anything from you except to die and be a very cheap funeral. You're gonna die now. Stop him! He's supposed to die! Nice work, Homer! Am I proud of you?
Well,
when you go home tonight, there's gonna be another story on your house. Thank you.
That just goes to show you. Laser's not the best way to kill somebody. Just bullet to the head. And the Russians made it traditional. It's the way it works.
What? What are you talking about?
There's always a chance for failure in laser deaths.
No,
but in gun deaths, it's a little harder.
What do you mean, Russian? What do Russians have to do with? I don't understand.
They popularized the bullets between the eyes. There were millions of people killed in Soviet Russia.
I think people were getting shot in the head before. Russians didn't invent people shooting people in the head, Matt.
No, but they took it to the next level of the art form.
I'm just perplexed by your cultural, where you stand sometimes, Matt. I just can't comprehend it.
It's true. It's fun to attempt to inflame the passions of our listeners.
I think we're talking about different things now. Inflame the passions.
different passions.
You are quite a handsome man, I have to say.
Wrong passions. Wrong passions.
I'm glad I can finally make you a little uncomfortable. I don't know. I really like, there's, like we mentioned, Homer is just having a normal discussion with Hank Scorpio at the end of the second act, and he's blowing up bridges in the background. There's laser weapons right in the same room as him. He's tackling people that Hank Scorpio is killing, and it's all normal to Homer.
Homer proves that every supervillain needs just one competent henchman, just one. It's like, oh, this guy's getting away. Maybe I should tackle him. Oh, well, that foiled him.
Well, Homer's just being a good employee. I mean, like, his boss is telling him to do something, he does it. You know, I feel like that's we are getting a little insight in what makes Homer work. You know, he needs a motivator. He doesn't need like a enforcer like Mr. Burns. He needs, you know, a kind word, a pat in the back. And
indeed,
Homer goes home. He's happy. Presumably, they have another story on their house, so he's probably excited to have more room. But the rest of the family, not so much.
I tackled a loafer at work today. Hey, what's with you, sad sacks?
I'm allergic to everything here. My nose is so stuffed up, I can't even taste Mom's delicious boiled celery.
I've been so bored since we moved here. I found myself drinking a glass of wine every day. I know doctors say you should drink a glass and a half, but I just can't drink that much.
Well, the Simpson men are doing fine, right, Bart? You haven't even gotten in trouble at school.
I can't get in trouble at school. They put me in the remedial class. I'm surrounded by arsonists and kids with mittens pinned to their jackets all year round. Hey, Dad.
We want to go back to Springfield.
What? We've got it great here. And for the first time in my life, I'm actually good at my job. My team is way ahead of the weather machine and germ warfare divisions.
It's up to you, Homer. Whatever you decide, that's what we'll do.
Mm. Homer's left in a tough spot. Homer, despite being happy, I think Homer's happy in Cypress Creek. I think that he is finally getting fulfillment from a job, in which he rarely does from his normal job. And he doesn't want to leave, but he's torn because his family obviously is doing terrible. So he talks to Hank about it in the midst of the government invading Hank's secret base.
You got a problem, Hank.
Oh, gee, Homer, could I wait a sec, please?
Well, it's pretty important. Hey, what's going on?
I'm having a little trouble with the government.
Oh, those jerks always walking over to small businessmen. Don't get me started about the government.
What's the problem?
Well, my family wants to move back to Springfield.
Let them go. You'll stay here with me. We'll go bowling. What's bothering them?
Nothing big. It's just a lot of little things.
Well, you can't argue with the little things. It's the little things that make up life. Homer, I'm disappointed, but I think you need to do what's best for your family.
Well, thanks for everything, Hank.
T-minus 14 seconds.
Need anything, you call me.
All right, what's the number?
I've never had to call my own company. Someone will tell you upstairs. But Homer, on your way out, if you want to kill somebody, it would help me a lot. Missing out on some fun.
Oh, you didn't capture him kicking the grenade and blowing up a whole bunch of guys.
Well, oh yeah, the sound effect of him kicking a grenade. The Hank's stare at Homer when he's like, "You can stay, we can go bowling," and he just keeps staring. It's the first time I think you get like that last scene where he's like flame throwing groups of soldiers and, you know, killing people, throwing grenades at them.
Pouring hot acid on them.
Pouring hot acid. He has a scald button. That's great.
I think we all want a scald button in our houses right above the front door.
I'll have to keep that in mind next time I go over, Matt. Next time I visit you guys.
Yep. Look up.
Yeah. We finally get a true sense of Hank as the maniac he probably is, but he still gives Homer good advice. And he's still pretty gracious to him.
He takes time out of his craziness to be like, to still be a good boss.
I don't know. I just can't not like Hank, even with him being a supervillain. I still like him. I can't help it.
That's true. Also, I really enjoyed Hank's assistant doing the soup, like six flips and then killing Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf with her, ankles or calves.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Breaking his neck. It's pretty good. Which I did not realize that was his assistant the lady that was doing job offers in the very beginning. It never crossed my mind that they're the same person.
It's a hell of an HR department.
Layer. You're on fire today, Matt. The Simpsons go back to Springfield, where they belong. Otto has been squatting in their house. He gets his girlfriend and leaves. And Hank sends a telegram to Homer, not giving him the Dallas Cowboys, but instead giving him the Denver Broncos. Which, probably at the time it was written, the Denver Broncos were kind of a joke, but they won the Super Bowl the two following years after this episode debuted. So
what you're saying, it was prophetic.
I'm saying Homer's ownership of the team was instrumental in them winning two Super Bowls.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it really does.
He helped Mike Shanahan put together the best team. You know, getting getting Terrell Davis. Beating all these people are right, Matt.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, their names sound very familiar to me. I know them intimately.
But we go out with a song. A James Bond worthy song about Hank Scorpio, which I just had to capture because it's so good.
Of course.
Scorpio, he'll sting you with his dreams of power and wealth. Beware of Scorpio, his twisted twin obsessions are his plot to rule the world and his employees' health. He'll welcome you into his lair like the nobleman welcomes his guest. With free dental care and a stock plan that helps you invest. But beware of his generous pensions, plus 3 weeks paid vacation each year. And on Fridays, the lunchroom serves hot dogs and burgers and beer. He loves German beer.
Man, full dental plus burgers and hot dogs on Friday? Are you kidding me? That sounds like a perfect place to work.
3 weeks vacation. 3 weeks paid vacation a year. That's pretty good.
I'm close to that, actually.
Well, you know, we all don't have, like, lives like you, Matt. You know, blessed lives.
Well, to be fair, I get a certain amount of paid time off per hour worked. So this year, I have considerably increased the amount of time off I've been earning.
Well, you're such a hard worker.
It's true.
It is true. You're a good little worker. Episode, that's it. That's the episode. Tremendously hilarious. One of the truly great funny episodes of The Simpsons.
It is ridiculously good, is what it comes down to. It's basically got a little bit of the family being happy and sad, and it's got Homer, you know, doing one of his Homer takes another job kind of things, even though it's kind of similar for him. But really, Albert Brooks just destroys it. As Hank Scorpio. You were right earlier when you said it's basically Hank Scorpio with an assist from The Simpsons. Like the episode is really all about him.
I think Hank Scorpio is a great character. He's hilarious. But I do like, I don't know, there is a trend of the episodes where The Simpsons leave Springfield. And I think this episode does a spectacular job at not even just doing world building stuff. You know, we've mentioned that before, where you get an idea of Springfield does not exist in a vacuum. Springfield exists in a greater world. And seeing them move to a different town and seeing how things function differently, in contrast, we understand how Springfield works better just by seeing a good town where people like the kids in fourth grade know the things they're supposed to, where kids like Ralph get put in a special class and aren't just left to like flounder in the back of a classroom or insulted by their teacher. I don't know. I like... It certainly is not the focus of the episode, but it does a lot by just taking a little bit of time to, you know, make these characters, I don't know, show why Springfield is important to them and why, even though it's not a great place, it's where they belong. And, you know, every time they leave...
Anyone who's ever gone back to their hometown has realized that this place is important to me, but man, is it kind of sucks.
The Simpsons are not... You're a Lisa, Matt. Like, you're not... when you're like, you have to put yourself in the mindset of you're that little 8-year-old girl. You know, you can't leave. You're not allowed. At least not yet.
Not yet.
We'll rank it. Any thoughts, Nick? Anything you want to say before we move on?
No, this is one of the, you know, it's a 10 out of 10 episode. And it's one of those episodes that you can show to somebody who doesn't even like The Simpsons, you know? Yeah. You don't need the knowledge of Simpsons. You just watch this for Albert Brooks.
Yeah,
that's true. Actually, that there's no like previous Simpsons knowledge. You don't need to know who any of the characters are. You get a very good idea of who their characters are just from the little screen time that they get. I mean, you don't really need to know anything else.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
We will rank it at the end of the show. Unsurprisingly, we have many, many submissions for my favorite episode. I believe 8 is my final count, which is by far the most we've had so far. I think Lisa on Ice had 5. 4 or 5? I think that was our...
Lemon of Troy had 7.
Oh, Lemon of... Wow. See, we need to hire an archivist to keep track of our own... Because I can't keep track of that stuff.
We need a website to compile statistics
for us. Oh, wait, we have one. It's the one I'm in charge of. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thanks. Thank you, Nick, for reminding me.
That was my favorite episode, so...
Oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, okay. I'm putting things together. Well, without further ado... strap yourself in. First from Bennett, my favorite episode is You Only Move Twice, Season 8, Episode 2. I quote this episode quite often. We can't take that chance. You always say that. I want to take a chance. My butt is for sitting, not kissing. And that's just some of the lesser known ones. Overall, great episode. Thanks for the amazing show. From Cody, hello, Matt, Robbie, and Matt. My favorite episode, hands down, is You Only Move Twice, as it hits all of the possible high notes one could see in a Simpsons episode. Perfect guest star, great parody of a well-beloved franchise. Simpsons acting fully in character and above all else. More laughs at 22 minutes than the entirety of some comedic movies. That's for sure. I would say more, but I gotta go upstairs. There's a problem. Somebody ate part of my lunch. Hey there, fellas. Here's this. Oh, this is from Chris. This is Chris wrote us a dissertation. Hey there, fellas. Here's my submission for my favorite episode of Season 8, Episode 2, You Only Move Twice. So I've done my best to use your criteria to make my case. With any luck, I will be able to help solidify your opinion or to convince you to place it higher on the list. I believe this episode is everything you're looking for in a classic Simpsons show. I will list them and give a breakdown of each. Great story, something for each member of the family, amazing guests, tons of laughs, B-plot that fits well, good flow, many of the side characters, classic phrases, character building, world building, emotion, great song in the end, and movie spoof, well done. Let us start with the most obvious. Albert Brooks as Hank Scorpio is quite possibly the best character outside the main cast, maybe except Lugosh. It's Katnow. He is diabolical and determined. He actually succeeds in his plans, unlike Sideshow Bob. Scorpio cares for his employees and takes time to talk to them. He gives Homer great advice by telling him he can't ignore the little things. Brooks ad-libs many things, including the hammock scene, which is brilliant, by the way. This episode had a great cohesive story. The main plot with Homer and Scorpio is simply amazing, while the B-plot with how it affects Marge and the kids fits nicely. Shows how different things are in Springfield, and they have all trouble adapting. It really mirrors Homer's story since he's finally capable for once. This leads to the character and world building of the episode. For the family, we finally see a job where Homer succeeds. Whether it's motivating his workers with Tom Landry's hat or tackling loafers, he is a model Globex employee. He also apparently is a great owner for the Broncos because they won the Super Bowl in 97 and 98 with Homer at the helm. With Marge, we get confirmation that she really does enjoy working around the house and becomes bored quite quickly when everything is perfect there. She even develops a not-quite-drinking problem. At elementary school, we find that Bart is introduced to the real world. His antics might play well at the school, but his lack of education certainly puts him behind. I mean, really, how are you supposed to catch up by going slower than everyone else? Well, Lisa, we learn about her allergies to wildflowers as well as her love for boiled celery. I mean, come on, who doesn't love that? We also learn that northern reticulated chipmunks are jerks. Finally, Maggie. She doesn't like a swing-a-ma-jig. The world building is quite obvious. We have the beautiful town of Cypress Creek, a whole new place where the sawdust from one tree can cover a crap ton of vomit. It is completely different than Springfield. It's clean for one. The people aren't shoving each other and interrupting. Pretty sweet, if you ask me. We have the fantastic Bond movie spoof with Scorpio as Blofeld, and of course this leads to the song aspect of the show, the theme music over the credits. The addition of many of Springfield's finest as the Simpsons say goodbye is a nice touch. It's as though we get a final goodbye to everyone. Even though it seems a time filler, I still like it. Emotion is present as well. We get the family's initial excitement at leaving Springfield for a nicer place and a new adventure built. But in the end, we get this family's commitment to Homer in that it's his choice in the end. He had a hard decision to make, but with that advice from Hank, he does what is best for the people he loves and they go back home. I mean, it doesn't exactly pull the heartstrings, but damn it, there is emotion. Last but not least at all is the humor. We have the trust exercise with a stolen lunch, Scorpio putting his coat on backwards, business hammocks, followed by one of my favorite scenes ever, the video call to the UN. Those poor buggers can never take a chance. There's the poor Canadian Gordy, Homer's choice between Italy and France. My other favorite gag that makes me laugh all the time, the sugar and cream. And finally, the Denver Broncos. Like Matt, Marge doesn't understand football. Well, gentlemen, I hope I haven't done a good job of making my case and convincing you that this should be, if not number one, at the least, very least in your top five. This is my sales pitch. I will be disappointed if it isn't ranked high enough, but I guess it's your decision. Great sugar, guys. Always have a good time listening. Keep up the good work. Whew. I can catch my breath for one moment. From Kevin, You Only Move Twice is so funny and starts off just by Homer getting a new job and then the family moving to a new town, a lot nicer in Springfield. Family first is having a great time, then starts to have a problem with the town and Homer is not, which is the main point of the episode, not that Homer is working for a supervillain. It's just the family struggling in a new town. Never once is mentioned that the supervillain, even when he is in the middle of a giant battle. Marge not being able to do anything, just sitting bored in the house all day, drinking wine. Lisa being sick from all the nature in the new town. Bart being placed in a special class while Homer is off at work having a great time. Hank Scorpio as a James Bond-style supervillain is probably the funniest part of the whole episode, with him threatening to blow up the 59th Street Bridge while Homer is in the room not realizing it. Homer not caring when he's trying to kill a man with a laser, and Homer ignoring him flamethrowing the military. And at the end, how the family ends up owning the Denver Broncos. From Virginia, hello Matt and Robbie. I'm trying to let you guys know that You Only Move Twice is definitely my favorite Simpsons episode. I don't even really know what to say regarding the exact specifics of why this episode is my favorite. Could be the always excellent hammock district descriptions. It could be the ending dig at the Denver Broncos, who I have nothing against. I just found the moment hilarious. I think it might be the reversal of roles here. Oftentimes, the main characters of the show are depicted as the benevolent and kind ones. The villains are depicted as uncaring and heartless. Here, with Hank Scorpio, you see that he cares about his employees. He wants to help his people be their best, even if it's only because happy employees work harder, complete his schemes better, but it's more than that. He takes time in the middle of an invasion to take Homer aside and help him take care of his family. He cares. Hank Scorpio's characterization definitely makes this my favorite episode. Thank you guys for your work on this podcast. My husband and I love listening to it every week. From Jason, like many, I'm guessing, my favorite episode is You Only Move Twice. Albert Brooks makes this episode great, not to mention Homer helps Mr. Scorpion, See what I did there? Kill James Bond. We know that Cypress Creek has a hammock district, and Homer has seen a man throw his shoes and yell at them. This episode, to me, proves that Albert Brooks is the best guest star in Simpsons history. From Justin, my favorite episode of The Simpsons is You Only Move Twice. Who would have thought that Homer as a henchman for a Bond villain would be so entertaining? I find it to be the funniest episode in the series, and virtually every joke they will throw at the wall sticks. Conversation about hammocks is my favorite comedy bit from the show, and I agree is one of the best scenes in show history. Also manages to have a lot of heart when it comes to Homer's relationship with the family. Homer giving up a great job that he's actually good at is the sweetest thing he's done for the family in the series. Homer trudging out of Hank's office after quitting might be the most depressing moment in the series. Hank Scorpio is also one of the best one-off characters in the show's history. Albert Brooks does an incredible job providing the voice. And who can forget this exchange with Mr. Bond? So, you expect me to talk? I don't expect anything from you except you to die and be a very cheap funeral. As always, I greatly enjoy your show and appreciate the obvious level of effort you put into it. From Sebastian, catching up on the podcast, I'm only on season 3 at this point, but I wanted to throw in my favorite episode vote for You Only Move Twice. So many random great lines. I start fires. I tackled a loafer at work today. You always say that. I want to take a chance. But on a personal level, as a kid, I would sometimes push my brother over when he was talking to my parents and yell, I'd never lived in a place like that before. Not exactly right, because Lisa's the one who says it, and the quote is slightly wrong, but it was still funny to me. But most importantly, when I moved to Argentina, the only thing people knew about my beloved Broncos was that they were a disappointment to Homer. Oh, that's brilliant. But that's it. Whew. All right, that's all of them. I hope I didn't miss any. I tried to catch all of them. People were very judicious about like most of them came in this week as well. People were jumping in from the last second. But that's it. If you have a favorite episode, submit it to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why it is your favorite, and I'll read it when we get to that episode. Next up.
He will. He literally just read all of them.
I did. I just read all of them. People took a lot of time to write these things. It'd be mean to not read them. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the newsgroup is where I'll comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup, see what people were talking about a week or two after an episode debuted, see what they thought about the episode, anything else that comes up. Reviews were great to average. No, none like super hateful ones, but there were some that were like, it's fine, which
is weird.
Crazy? It's, you know, art is subjective. It's the facts of the matter.
It's a matter of fact.
Matter of fact. Also, a couple of things I pulled I thought were funny. A guy put a classified ad basically on the news group for sale. 17 VHS tapes containing Simpsons episodes. $50 plus shipping from Massachusetts. The tapes are high grade Maxell and TDK recorded in stereo on a hi-fi VHS machine. Tapes contain 4 to 5 Simpsons episodes apiece, most of which were recorded without commercials. This is my personal collection of Simpsons episodes, not duplicates. Tapes have been played 2 to 3 times each at most. Still a big Simpsons fan, but I stopped taping the episodes a couple years ago when my collection got too big. So, is that worth it? $50 for 17 tapes?
I guess back before the internet, that was.
This is what the world was like, Matt, before the internet. Imagine the imagine that.
It must have sucked.
Yeah, I imagine. I tape things. I remember taping stuff on VHS. I remember taping shows I wanted to watch because there was no other way. And the VCR would work roughly a third of the time. Oof. You're lucky. You're lucky, Nick. You got born after.
Yeah, I'm just on the very end of it.
Yeah. It's
back when life was hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still hard. It's a little bit nicer around the edges. We have streaming services and Blu-rays, not taping and DVRs for that matter, commercials. Imagine having imagine watching and recording on your VCR and then pausing it every single commercial and then starting it up every single time. Just doing it.
Awful.
Well, 17 tapes at like 5 episodes a piece. 130 episodes there. It's a lot of work. $50, not so bad.
Yeah.
Also, another person reporting in from a taping of news radio. I went to a taping of news radio. Phil Hartman came into the audience, did a little Troy McClure for everyone. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember if you've such educational films as Lead Paint, Delicious But Deadly, and Locker Room Towel Fight, The Killing of Tommy Driscoll. Well, the second one, it wasn't quite right, but you get the idea. Also did an impersonation of Clinton. If you're a Phil fan, this is a great way to see him up close. I think that's an interesting note. Phil obviously was a big part in news radio. And also I got someone sent me picture of their of a tattoo commemorating Phil Hartman, which was He will be missed. He is missed. Poor Phil. Miss him. I know, it's sad. We have to bring it. We got to bring it down. We can't get too excited about things.
That's true.
It's dang true. We can move on to our next segment with that high note. A listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow.
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog. We have a wiener.
Yellow.
This is our question of the week this week. Is what is your favorite Professor Frink quote? Tons of great answers. As always, appreciate everyone who takes the time to answer. Really, thank you guys. Don't have time to read them all, but I do appreciate everyone who answers. From Holly. It's my belief that within 100 years, computers will be 10 times as powerful, 1,000 times as large, and so expensive as to be only afforded by the three richest kings of Europe. A haven. I'm gonna try and do my best, you know, Jerry Lewis, Frank mannerisms, but I can't promise anything. From Sean, Frank talking to his dad in Trails of Horror 14. All your organs have been replaced with machines, but that doesn't make you any less of a man, except you have no penis. Cole, well, it should be clear to even the most dim-witted individual who holds an advanced degree in hypothetical topology that Homer Simpson has stumbled into the third dimension. From Zach, all right, just stay calm, Frankie. These babies swimming the stores while he's still grappling with the pickle matrix. Bugahaven Flavin. I can't. It's really hard to pronounce these flavins when they're not written phonetically. From Tasha, according to the grass chromatograph, the secret ingredient is love. Who's been screwing with this thing? From Mitch, well, the real humans won't burn quite so fast. From Kevin, oh, what gave me away out of curiosity was the hoiven or the maven, or was it the whole hoive thing that I do? From Jesse, I've misplaced the monster detector with a frog exaggerator. From Graham, feeds the soul of his dad food. That's a good schmindler. Oh, what does that mean? Is it dirty? From Justin, baseball is a game played by the dexterous, but only understood by the poindexterous. That's pretty good. From Austin, pi is equal to 3. Sorry, it had to come to that.
How dare you.
From David, so many coffees. Obviously, good morning, ma'am. Good afternoon, sir. It passed noon while I was speaking, so that was technically accurate. From Gregory at GB Freeman, oh boy, that monkey is going to pay. From Halvarar, Halvarar John at Halzak, this forms a three-dimensional object known as a cube, or a freakahedron, in honor of its discoverer. From CT at CHTHH, Professor Frink, he'll make you laugh, he'll make you think, he likes to run, and then the thing with the person. Finally, from Kyle, this was a close call for me, but my favorite Frink quote is from Homer the Vigilante, when he's showing off his burglar-proof house. Frink staring at the collapsed burning house, disappointed, followed by the line, well, the real humans won't burn quite so fast in there. Why? Gets me every time, plus the callback later on in the episode is fantastic. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm surprised. I don't think I heard this one, or read it. But it's when Apu is doing his thesis. He asks, "Could it be used for dating?" And Frink says, "Yes, but the matches would be so perfect to remove the thrill of romantic conquests." Because anyone who's done online dating knows that's absolutely not true.
Matt, how do you think I met Kim, my wife?
I know, it's weird. You're a fluke.
It worked. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
Nick, what's your answer?
I'd probably also go with the, and the secret ingredient is love. I love that one.
Well, yeah, that is my answer as well. You know, good minds think alike.
Of course.
It's spectacular. The love, that doesn't make things good. Wait, I need more Professor Frink in my life. I think we all do. Next week's question, what is your favorite of Homer's jobs? Astronaut? Vigilante?
That's a tough one.
Monorail conductor?
Police chief?
I may have to drum up that clip of listing all the jobs, but there's certainly a lot of them. I will post this question on all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. You can follow, like, subscribe, social media, words. Guess what, Matt?
What?
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge. So Matt and I challenge each other. 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. Try and stump the other We don't have a wager for the season yet. We'll maybe figure something out, maybe involving Simpsons tattoos, especially if Matt loses and has to get one, especially in that case.
Uh-huh.
I like my Simpsons tattoo.
See? See, Matt?
You wacky people.
There's nothing wrong. You're just afraid of the tattoo needle. I know it. You're afraid.
Not really. I've been stuck by a bunch of larger needles than a tattoo needle.
I know. I'm
not a permanence kind of guy.
I'll tell Melissa that. See how she feels. You're not a permanence kind of guy yet. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. How about I just get a Simpsons tattoo and we call it the wager?
It's a good idea. I like that
idea. Can we do that?
Sure.
I have some questions for you, Matt.
All right.
I assume you have some for me.
I do.
Okay. Start us off. Give me an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question. What law enforcement structure do Bart and Ralph explore in this little wee?
Oh, it's the prison. It's the old prison.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Springfield Penitentiary.
Yeah. It's run. What replaced it? Because it's abandoned. Did they tell us?
That's a good question. Maybe they just released everyone.
explains Snake at one point, continuing to be like an active citizen of the city.
Yes, I believe the police station is usually used for most of the criminals in Springfield, but there is that one point where the Frank Gehry designed concert hall was used as a prison, and Homer becomes a snitch.
And also, like, they use the school for prison space as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do.
Time. All right, your easy question, Matt. These are all from Bart Gets an F.
Ooh, going way back. Okay.
Bart must pass his final test to avoid doing what?
Repeating the fourth grade.
That is correct. That is correct. What's the medium question?
All right, so your medium question. What body part is Ralph being stuffed into at the science museum?
His nose? The nose, I believe. Is that correct?
I'm afraid it's the ear.
Dang it. I swear, wasn't he poking out the nose?
No, he was they had to get the cotton swab to bust him out.
Oh, right, they got the, dang it. Is there another episode where he was in a big nose?
I kind of feel like there was.
I remember his legs up it and his head is facing down.
Yes.
Oh, that's
from
the, it's in the Statue of Liberty, I think, isn't it? Or some big statue.
Oh, yes, Homer is hanging out the nose of the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
Or not Homer, Abe, when they first moved to America.
Okay, well, there's another, I'm sure it's out there. All right, your medium question, Matt. Bart presents a book report on what book that he clearly has not read?
Oh, Treasure Island.
You are correct.
Yes. Because it's so funny because he can't remember the name of the pirate, but it's actually, I believe, it's been a long time since Treasure Island, but I'm pretty sure it's Long John Silver. But I could be wrong.
I've not read that since I was in elementary school, so I do not remember. Robert Louis Stevenson, Treasure Island. Okay, the first is a casino. Main characters. Long John Silver is correct.
Yes.
you don't get the restaurant.
Nope.
No extra points for that, though. I'm sorry.
Oh.
What is my hard question, Matt?
All right, sir. Your hard question today. What three places do Bart and Ralph get into with the police master key in this little wiggy?
Oh, gosh. You're killing me.
I'll give you a hint. You've already gotten one. But I'm looking for the name of the prison.
Is it not just the Springfield Penitentiary?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay, good. Then I have no idea. Let's see. The master key they get into. I honestly cannot remember at all, and I don't know the proper name of the penitentiary either. Nick, do you know this at all? You know any of these?
I keep thinking about when Bart and Milhouse go on their shopping spree. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the same episode. So what are they, Matt?
They're the toy store. Okay. So Nick was right. They go in there. Toy store.
Yeah.
There's also the bakery where they eat the wedding cake and they get the little bride and groom. And the title of the prison is Morningwood Penitentiary.
Of course. God. Okay. Your hard question. Bart initially scores a 59 on the test. What does he compare his failure to that gets Krabappel to give him an extra point and give him?
You're going easy on me, right?
I hate you.
What, seriously?
I hate you so much.
When George Washington lost Fort Necessity to the French in 1754. What, Robbie?
I'm You're right. Yes, that's correct. You are correct. I didn't know that off the top of my head. I couldn't have gotten all that stuff right.
Sorry.
We might have to. I've gotten some suggestions for changing the rules of this thing, and I might have to. Might have to alter the scoring on this after. We might have to change things around a little bit just to make it a closer contest. Okay. Well. Yeah. Well. Okay. Nick, do you have any questions? Did you bring any trivia?
Yeah, I did actually.
All right. What do you got?
I got three for both of you if you guys want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, I need all the help I can get. Make sure mats are all hard and they're worth no points.
Dude, do you want to go first?
You do Matt first. I'll have some extra pressure on me.
All right. In Homer to the Max, we find out that there's the right way, the wrong way, and the max power way. What is the max power way?
Isn't that the wrong way? Yes, but faster.
Correct.
Ah, man.
All right, Robbie.
Yes.
In Homer, we find out that what is lost in Homer's brain?
A crayon. A little crayon.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Woo. Woo.
All right. In New Kids on the Block, we find out what is the name of the boy band that is formed.
For Matt, I assume.
Sorry.
That is the Party Posse.
Correct.
Party Posse. Are the how many? Is there a difficulty rating on these?
Yeah. Sorry, that was medium.
Okay, that's a medium. All right.
All right, Robbie, your medium one.
Okay.
In Brothers Little Helper, what is the name of the drug that Bart takes to help him concentrate?
Oh, it is Focusin, right? Focusin.
Correct.
Yes, I remembered something. Now I know how Matt feels all the time.
hey, now, there were a few times when you trounced me last season.
Yeah, okay, let's see, final score, 85-70.
Is it a few? Not every time.
All right, well, these last two are pretty hard.
All right.
So, Matt, in The Way We Wasn't, what are the names of the camps that Homer and Marge go to?
Oh, man.
They're both fine.
No idea.
Nope,
no clue.
I don't.
Homer goes to Camp Sea Tree, and Marge goes to Camp Landaman.
Sounds about right.
Oh,
all right.
Shoot. You're
ready for your...
Okay. Huh? Yep.
You ready for your hard question?
I am ready.
In The Way We Wasn't, what fake name does Homer give to Marge?
Ugh. All right. Well, there's only so many names on the planet, so I have a shot if I just guess a name out of the blue. Sam. Sam, do I need a last name too?
It's four names.
Oh, then no, I'm wrong. I don't know.
Elvis Jagger Abdul Jabbar.
Oh, that of course. That's a good name. That is a good name.
It's the kind of name we all want.
Well, I mean, you're an adult, Matt. If you want to change your name, you can.
Too much paperwork. I'm a lazy man.
I don't think it's actually that hard to do it, honestly. I think you just have to
ask our wives.
Fairly certain they just had to go to the court and it was had a marriage certificate.
Yes, but then you have to change your name everywhere else.
That is true.
That's the hard part.
Okay, that's true. I was thinking more of like legal constraints of like, you know, legally doing it. It's not so bad. But yeah, you're right. You do have to change your name everywhere else. All right. So Matt gets 9 points for today and I get 4. But that is the same margin we had before Nick's additional questions. So I don't feel, and I get some questions right, so that may feel like good too.
I have faith in you, Robbie.
I appreciate the sentiment. I do, a lot of people send me messages saying you can do it, and I appreciate it. I really do. I am trying. This is not a gag. Like, I don't want to, I have not eaten the cheese yet. It's in my fridge, and I need to eat it, and I don't want to, but I'm going to soon. Like, hopefully within the week of this coming up, there will be a video of me eating a lot of cheese on the internet.
It's so sad that I don't get to see it in person anymore.
You just have to watch the video like everyone else, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know. I don't have you, like, glowering at me as I shoddily mow your lawn.
I wasn't glowering. I even left you alone and, like, didn't even watch the last part.
Yeah, I know, but you did manage to come out and, like, look at all the spots I missed, quote unquote. I believe those are your exact words, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's move on. It is time for our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. All right, Matt, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is this episode better than Marge vs. the Monorail?
Yes.
Okay. That's number five. Marge vs. Monorail is currently number five, so at least it puts it at least number five. But does it go higher than number five?
I'm actually looking. I think it's better than Lisa the Iconoclast. I'm not sure if it's better than Bart Sells His Soul or Summer of 4 Foot 2. I'm going to need a little input from you guys.
Well, Nick, you had this eight, you said?
Yeah, but the problem is my list and your list are
very different.
Two complete.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. I have like Lemon of Troy, Magnix 3, and Homer the Vigilante at like in my top five. So,
well, those, I mean, those are all,
they're all great episodes.
They're all great. Yeah. It's, you know, we've talked about this a bunch, but, you know, there's a lot, there's like 100 great Simpsons episodes and all your, everyone's own personal little aesthetic tastes will vastly change the order of it.
Yeah, so I would like to jump in, but I don't really feel I have the ability to.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're a consultant. That's, you know, you're just you know, here for moral support.
Exactly.
I was really thinking about this earlier, and it was really hard for me to nail down a spot for it. Like, part of me wanted to go like number two. And then part of me was like, but nah, but those, like, there is, you know, we do tend to put stuff with character pretty high, even though Cape Fear is number one and is not, certainly not a character episode. But this episode is so funny, and it's so inventive and so creative, and Albert Brooks does such a good job, and it does such a good job at world building and giving us, you know, background on these characters and how they function. Even in, like, really, like, in very limited amounts of time. Like, we spend very small amount of time with the rest of the family, aside from Homer. Even with Homer, it's always, almost always with Hank Scorpio. You say it's definitely better than Lisa the Iconoclast.
I think so, yes. I think it's just so enjoyable and so much fun.
Oh, I really like Lisa the Iconoclast. But not better than Bart Sells His Soul?
I'm not sure.
I love Bart Sells His Soul. Okay. I think number four is a good spot for it. For the moment, at least.
For the moment.
For the moment. We can agree? Number four?
I think we can agree. Number four.
Okay. The number four on our list is You Only Move Twice. I can't type. It's a problem. Right above Lisa the Iconoclast, right below Bart Sells His Soul. We are... This list is insane, honestly. Looking at this list week after week after week, just like the sheer amount of like quality going like way down on the list is like staggering. Like how
it really is.
Like how far you can go down before you get to it, like to like even an average episode. Like it's in the hundreds, I would say.
We are gonna have 10 seasons of fun coming up, so trying to figure out what if it deserves 132 or 133.
Yeah, I have put some thought about like what are we going to be talking about when we get to episode like 287. Like we're like, where is it belong on this list? Is it better than the episode from season 14 that we kind of liked? It's hard to say. but we'll get there. This list is a simple. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. Last place is still Homer's Odyssey, number 145. It will be replaced in those ten seasons of fun.
Okay, Robbie, question for you.
Okay.
In your opinion, will be replaced before 2020?
2020? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It might be this year. Depending on how my math is. This year or next year, I think. At least in my estimation. Of course, you're half of this equation, Matt, so I can't guarantee what you're going to say.
Okay.
But I'm fairly positive that my feelings will be convincing enough to put it on last on the list. It might not even be like second. Homer's Odyssey might not even be like second or third to last after a bit. You know, there's a few episodes that I really have problems with. You can find this list at our website, SimpsonsShow, thesimpsonsshow.com. links to everything there, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, a link to our Patreon. You want to throw us a couple dollars, help keep the show going, we'd really appreciate it. Not obviously, I ask for your help, but do not, you don't have to, if you don't want to give us money, don't worry about it. Don't feel guilty if, or whatever. I don't want people to feel guilty. We appreciate everyone who supports us.
Indeed.
Whether
with money or just good feelings.
Yeah, good feelings. Good feelings are often just as good sometimes. Our next episode is The Homer They Fall. Kid Presentable, Kid Gruesome, Kid Mo.
And finally, Kid Mo. That's the stinger. They don't let you use that anymore.
The seasons. I love seasoning so much. I miss it, man. So many good episodes coming. I'm just looking at them all. I think that'll do it. Nick, you want to plug anything? Anything you want to tell people to go check out?
No, I'm pretty good. Everyone go listen to The Stereo Fanaticist.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I enjoy it.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, I'm on Twitter at MixmasterStereo. That's MixmasterStereo. Please check out my other podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's about comic books. And as Nick just mentioned, The Serial Fanaticist. Last episode was about podcasting. Next episode's going to be about the new John Darnielle book. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I've decided to join the underground fight club circuit. My signature move is curling up into a ball and just, you know, taking the abuse until the other person gets tired. So it's kind of like Homer's boxing style, but not quite. If you're in your underground fight club and you see a guy curled up on the ground, just sneak me a little piece of paper with your message on it. I probably will regain my vision soon enough to read it.
Matt, I know you haven't gotten a lot of fights in your life, but you are a massive man who actually is quite physically fit. You would murder most people in a fight club. You would unless they are trained in martial arts, if they're just amateur fighters, you would destroy them. They wouldn't even have a chance. You just swallow them up.
Nah, I'm not that hungry.
Oh, so literal. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching those episodes.
Shh.